sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is another big weekend. Oh, that means you need to stock up. So the chant begins, Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet. Yes. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, and the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. All right. A lot to get to on today's show. And we'll start with the Michigan situation. Negotiations on what to do at Michigan with the violation, the level one violation against Jim Harbaugh. He says, look, he denies it. So they have halted negotiations. Now, when you look at the violations that they're accused of that are the level two, look, we all know that there is stuff going on in the NIL world, especially in areas not north but south of the Mason-Dixon line, that make you sit back and it's kind of raise your eyebrows. What they are accused of at Michigan, and I'm not here to defend them because they shouldn't be doing it, but is not to that level. That's why they're level two. They're less significant in scope and punishment. The level one against Harbaugh is that he's lied about, and he says he didn't lie. So they've stopped negotiations. They were trying to achieve a negotiated resolution, not going to do it. He doesn't remember the incident. So the case is a standstill. And this, a year from now, we could still be talking about it. That's how long it might drag out. They also have had the drama with co-offensive coordinator Matt Weiss. There's been a report of a computer access crime at the team facility at Schembechler Hall. Today they fired Weiss. Now, he is the co-offensive coordinator. But today he was fired. And they said they did so after a review of university policies. They fired him with cause. And there is a clause in his contract, by the way, that says for cause he can be fired for either the conviction of a felony along with a conduct clause for morality. 39. Ongoing investigation, says he's fully cooperating. So they'll need another coach. And in this case, it would be the third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Now, again, he's a co-offensive coordinator. But, you know, of course, Josh Gattis had the job, and they've been rolling. This will be 3 and 3 years for them. Weiss is not only the co-offensive coordinator, he's also the quarterback coach with J.J. McCarthy. Weiss made $850,000 as a base salary. His bonus, about $400,000. So that's the Michigan situation. Ever since they got to the college football playoff, there's been nothing but trouble. And that's where it stands. Then there's the Florida quarterback, top prospect, and because he's free on the market, I can't say his name. Because, again, he's, you know, anybody that's a potential recruit, I can't do that. And I'm not saying Penn State's recruiting him. I'm not saying that. But whenever this happens, you got to follow the rules. So my apologies again to the audience for that. But he's been released by Florida. He's free to sign with any other team. He asked for his release after a reported $13 million name, image, and likeness package fell through. Now, in Florida, the state, and remember, there is not a unified name, image, and likeness rule across the country. It is state by state. So in Florida, any university in Florida cannot provide or arrange NIL compensation. They have to be done through third parties, which, of course, are collectives. It was the Gator Collective that terminated the agreement. It was going to be paid out over 4 years. He never did enroll in classes, by the way. Now, this guy originally committed to Miami, then he flipped his commitment to Florida, and now he's a free agent again. Now, Florida, of course, has signed Graham Mertz. They did so in December as he transferred from Wisconsin to Florida. And Jack Miller, who was on Ohio State, has also transferred to Florida. And that's where these things stand on this particular day. It's crazy. It's a huge sports weekend here at Penn State, too. This is some weekend. You got Penn State wrestling tonight as they take on Michigan in the Jordan Center tonight. And I was literally just in the Jordan Center 15, 20 minutes ago. And they're getting it all set up. Now, I went over to the back gym. I went to basketball practice. But they have it all set up, and they put on a great show in the Jordan Center when they have wrestling. And it's going to be back-to-back Friday nights because next week, of course, is going to be Iowa. But tonight, it is Michigan. And it's at 7 o'clock tonight. But you also have ice hockey tonight, and it's Notre Dame tonight. And that's at 6:30. And then tomorrow, it's Penn State men's basketball. They've got Nebraska 2:15. And then on Sunday, you know, you got more hockey, too, tomorrow with Notre Dame. And then Sunday, you got wrestling again, but in rec hall against Michigan State. Gary Steen goes at 125 tonight. Roman Bravo Young, ranked number one at 133. Bo Bartlett, number four at 141. Here are the matchups, by the way. This is how it's going to look tonight. Gary Steen against the 23rd ranked Jack Medley at 125. Number one Roman Bravo Young, 12th ranked Dylan Ragusan of Michigan at 133. Bo Bartlett, who's ranked fourth in the country at 141. Cole Martin's ranked 23rd in the nation, Michigan. That's the 141 bout. 149. Shane Van Ness is now ranked 14th. Chance Lamar is ranked 21st. Evidently, they have not made a decision between Levi Haynes, who's ranked 17th, or Terrell Barraclough. Whomever's going to get number 10, Will Lawan of Michigan at 157. Alex Facundo, number 16 at 165. Cameron Amin is ranked 5th for Michigan. 174, Carter Storace, ranked number one. Max Mailer's ranked 30th for Michigan. 184, Aaron Brooks, ranked number one. Number nine, Matt Feinsilver from Michigan. 197, Max Dean's now number four. Brendan Yatuma, Michigan, is unranked. And the top two heavyweights in the country head-to-head tonight at 285, number one, Greg Kurtfleet, and number two, Mason Paris. Now, evidently, there actually are a few tickets remaining that are single tickets for tonight. So if you want to check, there actually are some singles remaining tonight. But they're singles. So if you're going, oh, it's sold out. Well, no, evidently not. But there are some left, and they are singles. Just so you know. And then tomorrow, Penn State, and of course, hockey's got Notre Dame tonight. It's a big weekend for them. Penn State's been ranked in that top six all season. I mean, all season long, that's what they've been. It's been really... terrific year. And then tomorrow, Penn State, Nebraska. And that will be in the Jordan Center tomorrow at 2:15. Nebraska's coming off a win over Ohio State. Ohio State slumped. They've lost five in a row. Ohio State's really struggling. They really struggled against Nebraska. But as they pointed out on the show last night with Micah Shrewsbury, if there's a big difference in any of the, quote, numbers that you have with Nebraska. Last year when Penn State played them in February, their offensive numbers were like right around 170th in the country. Their defensive numbers were like 180th in the country. Well, their offensive numbers are still up there, like in the 170s. But their defensive numbers, they're one of the top 35 defensive, you know, statistically, one of the top 35 defensive teams in the country. That's where they've made a big difference in their team. Big difference. It has been on the defensive end. And once again, another tough matchup inside for Kebajai, because they run a lot through Derek Walker. They run a lot through Derek Walker, their big man, who's also their leading scorer. And Fred Hoiberg, with all of his NBA experience, runs a lot of stuff that Penn State runs. And football this weekend. Yes, sirree. And by the way, our good friend Sweeney Murdy, who's been on this show many times and has been at WFAN for 30 years. He was offered to stay on part-time, but he says, no, nah, I'll part ways instead of staying on part-time. Okay, great to be with you on this Friday, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. Northwestern's going to have a second game postponed because of COVID. Their game at Iowa was postponed, and now their game at Wisconsin tomorrow is being postponed. They only had six available players. We have to do this the Big Ten way. Six available scholarship players for the game on Wednesday And there's no word on how many were available this time, but evidently not enough. But it is a COVID situation, so once again, Northwestern basketball will not be playing, and they'll have to reschedule it. Penn State does not play Northwestern until March 1st, so it's absolutely in the distance. Now, how they're going to work, I think they already have a date worked out for the Iowa game. I think it's Monday, January 30th. That's been worked out, but now they have to work out a second date to get this game in there. And Northwestern's been playing well. There are no big games really scheduled tonight. I mean, maybe the most, quote, interesting one is Boise State, New Mexico down at the Pit at 11 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Don't think you're staying up for that one. Also on Fox Sports 1 tonight at 7 o'clock, Villanova. But they're 9-10 on the year. St. John's is the better record. They're 13-6. They're hosting Villanova tonight. And then Ball State's playing Kent State tonight. Ball State's 13-5. Kent State's 15-3. It's interesting. They're now going through the numbers budget-wise. And I've mentioned before on the show many times that the one unintentional mistake made by writers on the West Coast when talking about UCLA or writing about UCLA going to the Big Ten along with USC. It's always about UCLA. It never seems to be, you know, because USC is a private school. Nobody thinks twice about that. You know, they just make their own. They do their own deal whenever they're ready to do their own deal. UCLA, of course, has been tied to the California system, and thus the Board of Regents finally gave the approval to do so. But whenever they have discussed going to the Big Ten, they've talked about the television part of it, and the money they can get from that, the potential of better attendance, they've talked about that. But the one area they never discuss where UCLA is going to come out on the positive end of it is in revenue sharing. Like revenue sharing. The Big Ten is revenue sharing for football and men's basketball. Now, I think Pat Kraft, the way he phrased it to me when it came to basketball revenue sharing. He says, yeah, it happens. He says, places like Indiana will kick in more than obviously a Penn State will. But he says, compared to football, it's pennies on the dollar, and he's right about that. Penn State is a loser on the revenue sharing side in football. UCLA would end up being a winner in revenue sharing. They would end up being a winner because of their attendance problems. They are not going to pay as much in. Penn State pays $1 million per home game. You know, $1 million per Big Ten home game. Penn State pays into the pool. Well, last year they played five home games in the Big Ten. That's $5 million they kicked into the pool. Penn State's not getting $5 million back from the Big Ten, so they run a deficit there. UCLA will not be putting that kind of money in. UCLA's going to end up on the plus side. They may end up on the plus side and upwards of $2 million. So when they start talking about the ability to offset the travel expenses, the $2 million or so that they probably will get from that, and I mean probably, is going to help out. It won't offset all of it. It will not offset all of it. And for the current schools in the Big Ten, let's face it, getting USC and UCLA is great. You can go out, you know, you go out to the coast, you'll play a couple games out there. I mean, football, you know, you may have to play one game out there a year, maybe play 1 year at the Rose Bowl, 1 year at the Coliseum, whatever. If it's basketball, you're going to go out there, you're going to play, it's going to be a group trip. You're going to go out and you're going to play at Pauley one night, you're going to play Galen the next, you know, 2 nights later. You'll get a day off in between, obviously. But that is, you know, so that's great. The problem is going to be they're going to be coming here and they've got to do it. You get to do that once. Hey, good news. I see palm trees. This is great. Won't hurt the announcer's feelings either. Hey, this is nice. But for them, so we'll just keep this in a basketball form, but you can put it together for all the other sports too. They're going to have to do that 5 times a year coming east and winter sports into the cold. Because if they're going to do the group where you're at Rutgers, at Maryland, okay, then you're going to go at Penn State, at Ohio State. You got to do that 5 times. Meanwhile, the other team, hey, you do it once. One long trip out there, play 2 games, one long trip back. Do it 5 times, and you know, it's going to take some doing on their part. There's no question. And the trip back for them is going to be longer. You're like, wow, what do you mean by that? If you're asking that question, you don't travel a lot. Because when you're going east, the wind is at your back, the jet stream, and it cuts a lot of time off. It took me, let's see, the total trip gate to gate, Newark to Los Angeles, ended up being like, I don't know, 5.5 hours, something like that. Gate to gate, now it's a little shorter to Detroit, but gate to gate Los Angeles to Detroit was like 3 hours and 10 minutes. You know, the way they had scheduled out the flight from Newark to Los Angeles was they built in 6 hours. The flight from Los Angeles to Detroit, they built in a little bit more than 4. So that tells you, you know, and this happens all the time. The flight back from Wisconsin, Dick and I were looking at Dick Girardi, and I looked at each other, boy, it went like that. Flight out there, you know, into the wind, took a while. So for USC and UCLA going home, the trip home is going to be longer. Time-wise. Trip east, not so bad. But that's all part of it, and that revenue-sharing part will help UCLA. There's no question about it. They'll be on the plus side of it. When it comes to revenue sharing, especially football-wise, Penn State is on the minus side of it, as is Ohio State, as is Nebraska, as is Michigan. They're all in the same boat. Because obviously, you know, especially, you know, you're talking about 3 stadiums that are 90,000 plus, and 3 of them are 100,000 plus, so they're kicking in the max every time they play a conference home game. Now, non-conference game, no, that's you know, that's a separate contract. But home conference game, you have to kick into the revenue sharing pool. And it's a sliding scale. So the ones that don't draw as much, like for example, Maryland is not contributing anywhere near the money Penn State's contributing. Because they average what, about 31,000 a game? Penn State's averaging 107, almost 108. Yeah. Same thing with Michigan, 111. Ohio State's over 100. And it's an element nobody ever talks about with them coming in. And by the way, if you notice UCLA basketball, right now, if they started the NCAA tournament, they'd be a one seed. Mick Cronin is a heck of a coach. And also one of the great guys to talk to. Cronin's, every time I've been around him, I've liked being around him. I know that. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Big weekend in the NFL coming up. We'll start to preview that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Great to have you with us, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And great to be with you today on this Friday. Lily is running the show today. All right, getting it done. And plenty of football coming up tomorrow. And Sunday. Now, tomorrow is the one everybody's waiting for. They're waiting for the Giants and the Eagles to square off in their playoff game. That is the nightcap tomorrow. So it starts with Jacksonville and Kansas City. That'll be at 4:30 tomorrow on NBC. Jags had that great come-from-behind win over the Chargers. They were down 27-0, rallied to win 31-30. That's at 4:30 on NBC. Then Fox has the Giants and Eagles tomorrow night at 8:15. Matt will be there with his dad. So that's really cool that he will be there for that. Sunday gets going a little earlier, 3 o'clock. And it'll be the Bills and the Bengals. The Bengals will not have their starting right guard, Kappa, and Williams, their left tackle. They're both out of the game. And the nightcap will be on Fox, so Fox gets the two nightcaps this year. And in the end, they'll get the Super Bowl, too. Cowboys and 49ers on Fox at 6:30. That has a chance to be a ratings blockbuster. The 49ers and the Cowboys. I know that, you know, with all due respect to the Eagles and the Giants, I know it's New York, Philadelphia, and it's going to get great ratings. But let's be realistic here. The Cowboys get their ratings are a little bit better than everybody else's. There are a lot of games involving their name on the line. And you all you got to do is just look at last year. 94 of the top 100 TV shows were sports last year. 82 of that 94, NFL. And among the top games is a lot of Dallas games in there. A lot of Dallas games. And the fact that it's a playoff game, it's in prime time, it's the 49ers, it'll be the top-rated game of the weekend. DeMar Hamlin making great strides from cardiac arrest, but they are cautioning everybody, saying he has a long way to go in his recovery. Long way to go. They say he's upbeat, he's positive, which, by the way, we'll do everything we can to get him back quicker. Says, despite being out of the hospital, DeMar still has a lengthy recovery, according to Jordan Rooney. Still requires oxygen and is having his heart monitored regularly. He has visited with the team a few times, but he still gets winded very easily. So that's where he is with that right now. Sean McDermott said when he's with them, it's limited overall, but he comes in and really just started doing it a couple of days ago, just trying to get back to a little bit of a routine, get himself acclimated again, taking it one step at a time, one baby step at a time. Hamlin has not participated in any team meetings, But as McDermott says, what he's doing right now is he's dipping his toe in the water. Hamlin did not attend the team's home game with Miami to start the playoffs. He did watch remotely. He visited the team Saturday at its walkthrough before the game with his parents, Mario and Nina, and his brother Demir was with him. And T. Higgins did say that he is hoping at some point that he can see Hamlin this weekend. And Higgins said, I'm pretty sure we're just going to chop it up, laughs and giggles, and just be happy to see each other. Higgins was in communication with Hamlin's family in the days following the Week 17 game. That was ultimately, of course, we know, canceled. So he's hoping he can somehow see him this weekend, if it's possible, when Cincinnati gets to town. He'll be in Cincinnati. We'll be in town probably tomorrow, with the game being Sunday at 3. But at least, I mean, it's good news, but I think they did a great job of putting out the story and telling everybody, hey, he's there, he's visiting, but don't rush this thing. Don't go overboard on it. He's got a long road in front of him. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, almost Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.